O God, for Jesus' sake, I pray, your peace may bless my dying day. What a thing to talk about here among the living, our dying day. It's a bit of a downer, isn't it? We often think that religion is here to teach us how to live. And indeed, our Christian faith does show us how to live the good life. But what our faith teaches is this. The first part of living a good life is dying well. We are speaking of dying during this season of Lent, because where else did our life begin if not in a good death? The death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he died, we have the hope of life. To live truly, to live a good life, is to live a life with God, a life freed from the condemnation and the power of our sin. And that life only comes to us because Jesus came to us and because he came to die for us. By dying our death, Jesus united himself to us in our death. And by uniting himself to us, he took hold of us. He took responsibility for us so that he might carry us over from death into eternal life. His death truly is the gate of heaven. Holy Scripture teaches us this simple truth in its very frank, simple, direct teachings about holy baptism. According to Romans chapter 6, all who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. They are buried by baptism into death with Jesus. It places us with him in his death, so that we might also live with him in resurrection and in life. Holy baptism is our doorway into the life of Jesus, and it opens that door by putting us to death with Jesus. So when we ask the question, how shall we live? The Christian faith begins to answer by speaking of how we die. We live by dying with Christ and passing with him into the grace and favor of God. That pattern of dying and living is the pattern of the whole Christian life. What is Christian love? Christian love is dying to ourself, dying to our selfishness and to our self-interest, and living to the interests and the good and the benefit of others. When we live for our neighbors and count their needs as our own, we have died, and we live in them, for them, through them. What does Christian marriage look like? Christian marriage looks like a man and a woman who each day rise up to die to themselves and to live to each other and clothe themselves with the needs and the pleasures of each other. And this life takes on concrete flesh and blood reality in the children that they may care for. Christian parenting is the same. Parents die to their priorities and rise to their children's good. Christian workers crucify their time by dedicating that time to their employers and the public whom they serve. Christian employers die to themselves and live for their workers. Christian government dies to the temptation of all government, which is the temptation to be God, and instead rises to the word of God and what it teaches government to be. In the same way, all of Christian worship and ministry is a matter of letting the Word of God crucify our sinful passions of the flesh, so that we may rise up rejoicing with praise and thanksgiving to God. As a recent book put it so simply, Christians are dying to live. So since dying well is the key to living well, and since dying with Jesus is the key to dying well, we are looking at how to die this Lenten season. It's not a downer. It is joy. It is truth. It is walking on the path of what is best and what is life. in many ways are earthly deaths, in which these bodies of dust and ashes fall into the cold silence of the grave for a time, fulfill and illustrate the power of baptism. Death is indeed our enemy, but our sly and crafty Jesus has turned death against its own will into our friend. For now, when death destroys our flesh, what it's really doing is making room for the resurrection into the new creation. When death breaks our relationships and steals our loved ones away, it is simply freeing our hearts to love Christ and the fellowship of his church more as we look forward to that reunion of all those who have shared the faith before us and after. When death causes us pain in this world, it teaches us to trust God more than the world. Death, our old enemy, has been overpowered by the resurrection of Jesus and bent like a tamed animal, lassoed, leashed like a tamed animal toward the service and comfort of Christ's church, working in us to accomplish what baptism began. Remembering this power of Christ and his resurrection, Christians go to their death in a certain way, and we see it in our lesson for today, in how Jesus goes to his death. Just think, your Jesus knows he's going to die. Your Jesus also knows that his Father has the power to deliver him from death. Your Jesus knows that he has in himself the power to overcome death. And if any man ever did not belong in a grave, it's Jesus. For death is the consequence of sin, and Jesus has no sin. He doesn't belong there. So this Almighty God, who has no business in the grave, knows he's going to die, and how does he go into death? Humbly, with prayer, accepting it as the will of his Father. You and I belong in a grave. When you and I die, it is just. So how much more may we accept death in all its forms? Every night that we go to bed and commend ourselves into the hands of God, we are practicing for death. Every night that we lay down our heads on those pillows and give up control of what happens to us as we sleep, we are confessing that we are indeed in God's hands, and let his will be done. And if that will be death, then let it come. Every day we are commending ourselves into the hands of God. We seek to do so humbly and with prayer. We seek to do so with commendation, that is, commending ourselves into God's care and keeping. Here is why the church makes a point of gathering at the bedsides of its members as they are dying and praying for them. And we call this the commendation of the dying. Some people call it last rites, but it's a little different from last rites as you see it in other churches. In other churches that have last rites, they view it as a time to sort of clean up any sins that might still be sticking to the person who's dying, so that they don't go into death with these sins stuck to them. But in the Lutheran Church, we understand that our Lord Jesus has already dealt with all sin, canceling its power on the cross. There's not really a mop job to be done. Instead, just as we confess our sins in the faith that it is true, just as we confess our sins to speak the truth, that the forgiveness of the Lord is indeed ours, so do we gather at a deathbed to confess the truth, to say this person who is dying in the life, the grace, and the power of the resurrection. We are facing that old enemy of ours, death, and we're saying to death, you are a tamed animal. You must do what our Lord would have you do. You must work in this loved one to make him new. This is not the end, but the beginning of life. It's an important thing to do. People often talk these days about protesting and resisting evil, fighting the bad, seeking to do the good. The most important thing you can ever resist is death. Death, after all the other enemies have been defeated, will still exist. It is the last enemy to be destroyed. We protest death, and we do it in part through the commendation of the dying. We announce the truth that death and the devil hate to hear, that they have been made servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that this death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And with that confession, we commend ourselves into his hands. So, do you want to live well? The first question is, do you know how to die well? The good death is the death of Jesus, the death to which you have been united in holy baptism, the death whose benefits we confess in the commendation of the dying. The way we die is in, with, and under Jesus, wrapped up in his promises, wrapped up in his prayer, and in his body and in his church. Rejoicing that we should have this great honor of dying with Christ. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.